We know in the Svarim that Yom Tovim are not what we call birthday parties. They're not anniversaries. The Ramchal and the Derech Hashem talks a great deal about it, that a Yom Tov is a lesson, basically. There's a Messer. There's something every Yom Tov, there's a cycle, and it really keeps on going and going. Each Yom Tov leads up to the next, and there is a something that we're supposed to take out of each Yom Tov. In the other term, they call it the Avodah of each Yom Tov, different Lashonis. So on the Yom Tovim that are in the Torah, it's relatively clear, most of the Yom Tovim, what the essence that we're supposed to, besides the Mitzvah Sayom, obviously, you know, Shavuos, we have Torah, Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, Yom Kippur is Tshuva, right? Most of the Yom Tovim in the Torah are relatively clear what the main theme is. More than one theme very often. We have the Chanukah and Purim, the Yom Tovim and Rabbanan, are somewhat a little bit unclear. For sure Purim, but we'll leave that one alone. What Purim is, one of the Pleiadic Yom Tovim, which is Purim is Yom Kippurim, which is Mamish half-leva fella, that the Purim today does not somehow look like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim doesn't look like Purim, so. But, okay, well, maybe a little bit explained. But the question is, what is the theme, or the, really not just so much the theme, but the message, what a person is supposed to take out of Chanukah and Purim? So, obviously, if you look in this farm, there are many different shittas. There are many different points. There's a Yevanim, there's a Mahadrim and a Mahadrim. But Rav Simcha Zisa was the Alter Hakel, and he has a number of pieces on Chanukah. And he, at least in his Das Torah, this is what the Iker of Chanukah is, to the point that he says that if a person doesn't think this, he's basically, he Kamat says you're not Yetzi the Mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiris if you don't have this in mind when you light the Neiris. He basically says that. I don't know if he meant it, the Maisa, but that's what he says. He says that the seems to be the stress of Chanukah from the Gemara is the Nesumei Nisa. We also have in the Davening our Nisim. We have our Nisim for Purim. So he says that apparently the Iker of Chanukah and Purim, the same, is to stress Nisim, to focus in on the Nisim that Hashem did, to remember the Nisim. That's what he says. If you light the menorah and you don't remember the Nes, he says you're not Yaitzi. Okay. Now, in Pashtus, it's very strange, because of all the Yom Tovim, the Chanukah and Purim have perhaps the least Nisim. You know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach, and Nisim Gluyim, Saras Makas, Shmi Atzeres, Kriyas Yamsuf, Har Sinai, Purim, is not. We don't even have in the Megillah Hashem's name mentioned, which means that everything was Al Piderech HaTeva. It's not, everything worked out. It just happened to be that you could see the Yad Hashem behind the scenes. But it's all, there's no Nes in Purim anywhere. Nothing happened against the rules of nature. Even Chanukah, so Chanukah we have the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, which was against Tava, it burned for 8 days. But the amazing thing is that in the Awa Nisim, in the Davening, where we mention the Nisim, we don't even mention the Pach HaShemen. We mentioned the Nisim of the Milchama. The Milchama was also, to some extent, Al Pi Derech HaTeva. Even the Pach Shemen, in a certain sense, was Derech HaTeva, because at least on each day, each moment, when you looked at it, it was a Derech HaTeva. It's only, if you knew the whole picture, okay, then it did Shlo Pi Derech HaTeva. But it wasn't like in any given moment, something was Shlo Pi Derech HaTeva. So it's a strange thing. Why here the Iker theme? I mean, he explains it, but this is his question. The Iker theme of Chanukah and Purim is our Nisim. The Nisim are, you know, they were pale compared to the Nisim of the other Yom Tovim. So he says, that's Guva the point. He says, the other Yom Tovim, we're all Nisim Gluyim. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do Nisim Gluyim except for special times. But generally speaking, there are no Nisim Gluyim done. So in a certain sense, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Nisim Gluyim and Yetzias Mitzrayim, what does that have to do with me? I'm not expecting a Nes Gadol. He says, Chanukah and Purim are showing the Nes Nister. So that already is a message to us. Hanukkah and Purim, in other words, the way he says it is, there are three types of events, of types of hashgacha in the world, so to speak. There's Nisim Gluyim, which only occurred at certain points in history. Hashem, the Mashiach will happen again, but generally speaking, Hashem runs the world that be Derech HaTeva. There are Derech HaTeva, which we don't see any Yad Hashem, because it looks just natural. And then there's in the middle, things that happen up Biderech HaTeva, where when you examine it, it's blatant that it was Yad Hashem behind it. Which he says is Chanukah and Purim. Both Chanukah and Purim happened up Biderech HaTeva, but when you see the full picture, you hear it's Yad Hashem. So Chanukah and Purim, he says, is the lesson that Teva, things that we think happen, Abiderech HaTeva, everything on Purim happened according to the laws of nature. Achashverosh gets angry at Vashti, whatever. Everything makes sense in a vacuum. The Mokama also, perhaps in a vacuum, each episode makes sense. But when you see the totality of the picture, you hear this was obviously orchestrated by Kosh Baruch Hu, it's Hashem. So Chanukah and Purim teach us that the Nister is also a Nisim. Memeira, he says, that's what he said, Pshan, that we say, B'amimahem b'zman hazeh, it's not exactly, whatever, Pashup Shat, but he says that we're saying, thanking Hashem for the Nisim by Yomimahem, and that's a Gilui to b'zman hazeh, that we hear that with the Nis, just like then, it's blatant, you can point to, that the things that happened up Biderech HaTeva were really Nisim, so b'zman hazeh is also Nisim. Simchas Yisro goes further. He says the famous kasha that there's about 100 answers to of why we light 8 days of Chanukah and not 7 days of Chanukah, because the first day wasn't a nace, it was enough oil. Again, there are many, many answers, but his answer is because that's good for the point. We want to show that the first day is no less of a miracle than the other 7 days because Teva is also nace. So everything in the world is a nace, just certain things we're used to. But it's all min hashamayim, it's all hashgacha pratis, it's all nisim. So if that oil burns first day, it's also a neis. We just take it for granted. So came along HaKadosh Baruch Hu and made a neis, that oil burns 7 extra days, to megada that the first day is also a neis. That's his pshat. He is marich. And again, he says that's the ikar of Chanukah. So what I wanted to discuss a little bit is, in light of this, Rav Simchas Yisro, who teaches up that the Yisoid of Chanukah is to understand that the Teva is a Nes, how do we understand the concept of Teva? It's a very unclear topic, and it's very often misunderstood, especially because there are many different Rishonim that seem to talk about it, and they're not so always so clear or easily understood. But in other words, the question is, you know, what is Teva? So simple reading, Rav Simchas Yisro, so there is no Teva. That's what he's simply saying. That really there is no Teva. Pasht is what he's saying. Everything is a nice nister. Hashem has hashgacha pratis. Hashem's running the world. And he's as far as Klai Yisrael is concerned. Hashem runs the world. It's hashgacha pratis. Except Hashem disguises his hashgacha in Derech HaTeva. But it's not really there's any force of Teva. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. If this happens, it's Hashem wanted it to happen. It was a gzeira. It looked like it just was natural. The guy, I banged my car. It was a natural thing because some natural reason. There was ice on the street, or not in Florida, but whatever. But I slipped. So it's a natural thing. There was a rain. Well, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it, and it just made it to look up Biderech HaTeva, because Hashem wants to do it in everything Nister. But there's no Teva. That seems to be pashtus what Rav Simcha Zisel is saying. That is what he, pretty much what he says. Question is that seemingly, again, very seemingly, there are indications in other chazals that there is such a thing called teva. And the question is, how do you reconcile the two? There are some very difficult Rambans, which I am not ready to do. His Ramban is very difficult. Bags are very difficult, more difficult probably. And there's a Mor Nevuchim, which I didn't even read, but they quote, which is, and I did look at it once. It's, you can't, even the Ivra is very hard. But I don't discuss the Chavis of Avis. It's a little bit much easier. The Chavis of Avis, in the beginning of the Chavis of Avis, and this is the general consensus of all the later people. The beginning of the Chayit of Avis in his Psicha Tishar B'Tochen has a very interesting line. He's discussing why B'Tochen is important. And he says, if you don't have B'Tochen, U'misha B'Teach B'Zudas Hashem, a person who has B'Tochen in something other than Hashem, Meiser Orokim Hashkachosa Me'alav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his Hashkacha from him, and he leaves them in the hands of the force that he had bitachin in. As if a person has bitachin, so then you trust in Hashem, so Hashem calls the shots. But if a person doesn't have bitachin, so then Hashem leaves you in the force that you have bitachin in. Now, very unclear. Chayvus of Avos, what is considered not having bitachin? Does it mean zero bitachin, half bitachin? Very unclear. And again, there's also machlokesim in that. But it definitely, there seems to be many meforshim that seem to learn that in order to qualify for this Chayvus of Avos, that if you don't have bitachin for Hashem, Hashem is meiser hashkachoso, you don't have to be a Rosh Gomer. The Beis Halevi and the beginning of Miketz says that shot in Yosef, that Yosef had was Boteach in the Sar Hamashkim, and therefore Hashem made that he had to stay 2 extra years in the prison, because if you were, he says it's this Chavis of Avis, he was Boteach in some other force, so he made a, sorry, he had to wait for the Sar Hamashkim until he was ready. So obviously Yosef was not a, if he was missing in Bitochin, it was only on some Dakas level. The Ramban, I say, and Eiv says this, he seems to apply it to many people. So the Chavis of Avis Kipshuto is saying that there's some kind of gather that a person who is missing Bitochin, so Hashem puts him in the forces that he has Bitochin in. Which means that if a person trusts life, nature, the law, basically the world, then Hashem puts him in the world. But according to the Simcha Zisel, there is no world. There is no, in other words, Simcha Zisel is saying that we're supposed to feel that everything that happens is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what I mean, the Chayez of Avis says that at least there is a possibility that a person was meiser his bitachin from Hashem, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in forces of nature. So then it wasn't pashtus, according to the Chayez of Avis, it is a possibility that something happened. It wasn't that necessarily Hashem wanted that to happen. If you learn the Chayez of Avis Kipshuto, it's just, I didn't have bitachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Hashem left me in the force of nature, so that's what happened when you're totally in the forces of nature. That's not what Simcha Zisel says. Simcha Zisel says that the whole message of Chanukah is to teach us that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's true that there are many chazals like that. Ain Adam Noikev Espo Lamata, Shnikzor of Lamaida. So it's a very shver chavis of avis, which again I say he's not the only one that says it. The Ramban says it, and the Beis Halevi says it. That what does this mean? That there is such a thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meiser his hashkacha. What does it mean meiser hashkacha? So Simcha Zisel himself asked the Kasha, and the Ramban, he says a very, very shver. He says it. But he says it's, but the question is, what does it mean? What does it mean that you can have a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meiser his hashgacha and leads him to teva? What is this teva that a person is left to? So there seems to be two answers in the, at least in the standard, you know, Mefarshim that we use. You know, I'm not saying the, there's one that they really bring from the Chayvus of Avos himself. Simcha Zitzel says it also. There's a, they quote it mainly from a Sefer Avodas HaKodesh, which was not the regular one, but there's a apparently a Kabbalah Sefer called Avodas HaKodesh. And then there's a different answer which is given by the Michta Me'od, the Sifsei Chaim. So I just want to go through the standard answer. I don't know, standard answer. The Chayyus of Ovid says a very interesting thing. He says this in Shara Bechina, they quote. He says that we have a Chazal, Stako Baraiso Bara Alma. Kadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and created the world. So what does that mean? So he says, Hashem looked in the Torah, and it says in Kriyashma that if you do the mitzvahs, then it'll rain. And you'll have fruit. And ubara alma, which means that ha'enachinami, there's such a thing as teva in the world. There are laws of nature. But the laws of nature are not only physical. The laws of nature are governed by spiritual things too. That's what the Chayvus of Avos says in Shara Bechina. The laws of nature, we think there's only physical laws of nature. If you shoot someone, he dies. It's a law of nature. If you drop something off the roof, gravity takes it down. So there are also spiritual laws of nature. If you do certain averis, you have an unhappy life. It's a law of nature. It's in the teva olam. If you do certain mitzvahs, you get certain bracha. Whatever it says, v'chukosai teleichu, you get the bracha. Those things are put into the laws of nature. They come automatically. It's almost not even a gzeira min hashamayim in any particular moment. It's a teva ha'olam that's already there. Therefore, he says as follows. When the Chayvus of Avos says that when Hashem is meiser the hashgacha and puts him in teva, ain't a chinami. But that teva is gufa din. The teva itself is based on what he did. It's not teva based on physical laws of nature. It's teva based also on spiritual laws of nature. So it comes out that even, as granted, the Chayvus of Avos says that the rush, or the person who doesn't have bitachin, we don't know exactly what that gather, is removed, Hashem leads him to the laws of nature, but all the laws of nature follow Klodei HaTorah, because Hashem is the one that made the laws of nature. So therefore, it's not that he's going to get something that's not coming to him, because the laws of nature themselves are ruled according to the laws of Torah. The Ma'ilusa is the other way, that the tzaddik, Hashem takes him out of the laws of nature, so that even if al pi dinei Torah, he was supposed to get some kind of punishment, since he says he has bitachon in Hashem, Hashem takes him out of the punishment so he can even do better than the dinei Hashem. So it comes out like this. That's how the Chayvus of Avos and the Ramban in Iyav, though in the Ramban Iyav, it's hard a little bit to read it in. That they're learning like this, that the person without bitachon, he gets exactly what's coming to him out pidin, because he follows the laws of nature, and the laws of nature are governed al pi din. The tzaddik, he does better than that. Not only that his din is better intrinsically, because he has mitzvahs, so his din is better, but he isn't even governed by the din. Because Hashem, since Hashem doesn't run him according to the laws of nature, Hashem runs with midas ha-chesed, and special midas ha-rachmim, just like tefillah can change a person's din. So the tzaddik, when he has bitachin, and Hashem, since he's boteach in Hashem, Hashem takes him l'mayda min ha-din. That's the way this group of people answer the question. The Mitnah Me'ol and the Siftei Chaim answer it differently. They say, basically, that there's no such thing as tava. No such thing. Everything is hashgacha pratis. What does it mean in the Chayvus of Avos that a person has no bitachin? Hashem puts him in the thing that he's boteach. It's make believe. It's really not true. Really, everything is nigzer directly every second from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem disguises it as if he's totally in the thing he has boteach. In other words, really, everything is that there's a direct zera. Hashem is glazer in everything. Again, ein adam noikev etzbo demata ashenigra v'mayda. But Hashem, a person who has boteach in a certain person, so Hashem will make it look like the bitachon that you gain from there. But not that there is any koach of tava. Question is, so who cares? Why? So what's the big deal? If anyway it's coming in a shemayim and he's getting exactly what he was supposed to get, so what's the big deal that Hashem disguises it? So there are two answers to give. One answer is certain simcha sachayim. The tzaddik is able to see bitachin. He's able to see that Hashem is on his side. So it gives him a tremendous strength. It gives him a tremendous simcha sachayim. It's like you have $1 million in the bank account. So the tzaddik who sees Yad Hashem, so he's happy. He knows he has Hashem with him. The person who doesn't have bitachin, Hashem makes it that he can't see the bitachin, so he loses out that simchas achayim. And the Sitzlei Chaim says a very achap. He says that there is, we know, the svarim bring that Rav Zundel Misolant was yotzei his shtadis by buying a lottery ticket. Now, according to by most people, cannot buy a lottery ticket and be yotzei his shtadis. So apparently, the vort is that there is different shir chi of hishtadis depending on who you are. Which also the Beis Halevi here in Parshas Mikates says that too, that there's different shiurim of hishtadis. So he says a little different havana, and the reason is that a person, Hashem runs his derech with more neis nigle, so you don't need as much hishtadis api derech ateva, because you see Hashem doesn't run your life as much on derech ateva. A person whose his life is run more, then the more chi of hishtadis you have. So what the chayav avos would be saying is, this person, because he doesn't have bitachin Hashem, therefore Hashem makes his life run al piderech hateva. Now that his life is run al piderech hateva, he's mechuyev to do more hishtadis. And if he doesn't do the hishtadis that he's supposed to do, then he's going to get a punishment for not doing the hishtadis. While the tzaddik is not mechuyev to do the same ishtadis, and if he doesn't do it, he'll come out okay without the. He won't get punished for not doing his proper ishtadis. Okay, basically, right, so just we got a little complicated, but to come back to down to earth. So the basically what comes out is that even though. Sometimes I've met people when they give me a hard time because they read the Ramban themselves, and this is Ramban, that's what he seems to say. But the least way, if you learn the, we go follow the Messiah of the Gedolim, that the way the Messiah that we have is that there is, and it's for all practical purposes, what people call Teva, we believe there's everything is Hashgacha Pratis. We follow. What Rasim Chazisel says is in the lesson of Chanukah is that everything is minashemayim. There's two versions. Is it that Hashem put the Hashgacha Pratidin into the Teva and now the Teva does it? Or it's every second is Hashgacha Pratis. But what also comes out is that there is pretty clear from all the Mepharshim, everyone says it, is that there are two Hanhagas that Hashem runs in this world, Bezman Hazeh. We have, in other words, in the time of the, Messias Mitzrayim, there was Anhaga of Neis Nigla. In Bizman Hazeh, there are two different Anhagas. There is Neis Nister, which you can see, and it's a Talpiderech HaTeva, but it's Shayach to see the Hashgacha Pratis, and there's total Nister, which you can't see at all. And that's according to the that's the person who doesn't have bitachin, he gets to the punishment is that he cannot even see the hashgacha. It's so hidden. The shayla is in our day, what is the way Hashem runs the world basically? So the assumption people assume is obviously it's niskanu adiris, And therefore, the hashgacha, if it's haster upon him, if every time in Klal Yisrael is, you know, lower level, you get haster upon him. So today we should have more haster upon him, and therefore the hashgacha should be less noticeable. The ma'isa, I've heard from many, many of the gedolim of the previous generation, they kulam pe'echad said that that is not true. They all said that in this door there is an amazing gilui shechina, if not for the yechidim, then for Klal Yisrael as a klal. And the hashgacha pratis is much more noticeable in this door than in previous doors. They say you point to different things. If you look at the at Klal Yisrael in general, you look at Klal Yisrael 50 years ago, right, with the Shoah, was mamish on the bottom, you know, the bottom of everything, being persecuted. They were, no one wanted them. They were, you know, poor, broken people. And then, right afterwards, that they should go ahead and walk off to be just the bottom of Eretz Yisrael, which is an amazing thing. Here for 1,000 or two more years, the Arabs and the Christians are fighting over the Crusades. Who's going to be in control of Eretz Yisrael? And all of a sudden, the Jews come out of nowhere. They're ravaging no people, and they walk off with the Biden. Says as far as Ashiris, Klal Yisrael as a tzibur, not saying every individual, but as a tzibur, America, you know, not just in America, but all over the world. Israel too is a very wealthy tzibur, comparatively. You know, people came from the ashes, they came with nothing, and that in such a short amount of time should be such a rich community is amazing. More important that we consider amazing is spiritual. What was mentioned, that Klal Yisrael, what people thought that Yiddishkeit was finished, everyone, you know, right, the story with Tiksais and many stories that they used to say that everyone thought that there were no more Yiddishkeit. And today we have such an amazing growth of Torah. You see, and I remember Rav Hunder said this, and he remembers he went to a asifa. He said it wasn't even a frum asifa, but it was a asifa that all people from Europe. And he asked them if anyone remembers a Baal Tshuva from the city that they were in. He says, not one person remembered a Baal Tshuva. He says, in Europe there were no Baal Tshuvas. He says, today we have a whole hundreds and thousands. It's a revolution. There's so many Baal Tshuvas, and so many, the families are large, people have many children. There's so many growth of Torah, and such an amazing thing. So they say, the Stipler said that even though the Chazal say, Edef Niklas, you know, 1,000 people start learning and only one succeeds, Bismana said it's not true, Bismana said there's special bracha, that many more people succeed. So the Mefarshim seem to say that, the Gedolim, many of them said that Bismana said there's a special Gidui Shechina. They explain it. Why should there be a special Gidui Shechina? So we don't understand Dark Hashem, but the way they explain it is basically, one of the explanations is we say in the before Kriya Shema, we say, Ava Rabba Avtonu Hashem Elokeinu, Chemla Gedoida V'yaseira Chamalto Aleinu. So there's a gra, beer agra, it's born in the siddur agra. It says as follows: Ava Rabba Avtonu Hashem Elokeinu. That's a Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem showed us tremendous love. Chemla is mercy. Chemla means after Klal Yisrael did the Cheta Egel, and then they were punished. So then Hashem had mercy. Chemla Gedoyla V'Yaseira. Yaseira means extra. That after the Cheta Egel is when Klal Yisrael got the Mishkan. They didn't get the Mishkan, according to the Gra, until after the Cheta Egel, it was as a result of the Chemla. So the Gra says, and other people say it too, Rav Ochanan says it, that after a punishment, there's always a terror. If a parent punishes his child, so after he punishes it, he has to show more ava. It's a natural teva of the teva oidam, which is many things in the teva oidam are from the teva of the Tzal Medokim, which is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a teva of that when after there's a punishment, there's more chemla. And more, so therefore they explain that after the Shoah, which was such an obviously major punishment, so therefore it makes sense there should be a tremendous chiba to Klal Yisrael. And we find a much more that what we talked about, that the things that it's easier to see the Yad Hashem and Hashgacha Pratis. So I just want to basically conclude with two or three stories that perhaps highlight this point, and this would then tie it back into Hanukkah. There was a very big gadol in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rabbi Zion Brook Zatzal. Rabbi Zion Brook was a yeshiva of Navardik in Yerushalayim. He started the yeshiva in the 1930s. Came to Eretz Yisrael. He was nifter in, I believe, the 70s, late 70s, I believe. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was as a bacher, I was zeicha to meet him a little bit. So he used to talk always about the tremendous bitachon in Navardik. He told a story, which is really not the point, but it just it may perhaps dramatize. We're talking about Nes Nisters. He said an amazing story. He says Navardik was very big in Harbatz's Torah, but there was tremendous poverty in Eastern Europe before World War II. So the guys, they didn't even have shoes to Bukhrem. It's tremendous poverty. He said there were days there was no food in the yeshiva. So he says, but they wanted to do Harbatz's Torah. So they had an einfau. There's a famous Rav Yisrael that says that if a person has total bitachin, Hashem gives you what you have total bitachin. Okay, that's a famous Rav Yisrael. So they were very big in that. So they went ahead, and there was once a year a lottery ticket, the government lottery, which is apparently for a great large sum of money. They bought, the yeshiva bought a ticket, and the whole yeshiva had bitachin, they're going to win. And they said to Tehillim that day, and it guaranteed the win. So, Befarisha Rabbi Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael, if you have full bitachin, it's guaranteed. And in order to show that they had full bitachin, and they didn't, it wasn't just a trick, so they already went, like they had the money already. They bought the lottery ticket. Okay, it's guaranteed, we got the money. So they sat down, and they worked out the tachnit, the plan. Well, let's say the lottery is $100 million, whatever it is. Okay, how are we going to spend $100 million? And they went through every penny. It wasn't like, because it's real, it's not fake. We believe we have it. If you don't really believe you have it, so yeah, okay, we'll spend it, throw it away. But no, we got $100 million in the packet. We have to start yeshivas. And they figured out an exact budget. Well, we want to start yeshiva here. How much will it cost? This will cost for this, and this will cost for that. And they spent hours and hours and hours figuring out an exact budget of all the yeshiva they wanted to open until they spent every penny of the money that they would win. Okay. Came the day of the lottery. They said to him all day, whatever. And, of course, the story is that they did not win. If they would have won, you would have heard about it. So he said they were in shock. How is it possible they didn't win? So he said, but Rav Brook said, but you know what? Everything on that paper they got done. Every yeshiva that they wrote that they're going to start, they succeeded in starting. So in Al Biderach HaTeva, you couldn't start those yeshivas without $100 million. But they started every single one and they succeeded. So in essence, they got what they had been talking for. They got it. They just, Hashem did it. Nes Nister. If they would have won the lottery, it would have been such an amazing thing. We would have heard about it today. Did you hear? Navardik bought a ticket, they said to him, and they won the lottery. But Hashem gave them the Siyata Deshmaya to get exactly what they had to be talking in. But a different way, a little bit more hidden. So he used to always talk about bitachin. So I was a young bacher. So I thought I thought was a good question. He says, the Navardik, they worked so much on bitachin. So he asked him, if you're going to give me, help me out. You know, he says, I want to work out, I want to be kind of bitachin. How can you give me some aitzes to be kind of bitachin? He got so angry at me. It's not exactly what he said, but this is the essence of what he said. He says, a person lives in Dora Midbar. He saw a Kriyas Yamsuf, and he sees the mud. Sees Har Sinai. And then he comes and says, give me an eitzah to have bitachin. What's wrong with the guy? I'm a shugana, you know. He says, you're living in a door, there's nisim gluyim, and you want Eitzis to work on Pitachin. Just look around. So I remember he gave a mashal, which in my sense was a pretty amazing thing. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, what is the average kodol guy lives on kodol? What does he make? Not very much. I don't know. Let's make a number. He makes $20,000 a year. And then he has to support, he has 10 kids, which in itself is a nace. How can he support himself with 10 kids with 20,000? So how much money does he have left over for savings? Probably in the negatives. He says, now the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that you have to buy apartments for your children. The guy has 10 kids, okay, so he buys for the boys, five girls. He has to buy 5 apartments. So you're talking about, in those days, apartment costs $100,000. He said, you're talking about $500,000 for apartments. He says, and there are, you know, ruba de ruba, people in Eretz Yisrael do it. There's a few people that come to America, but ruba de ruba do it. He says, can you explain to me how everyone is getting $500,000 to buy apartments? He says, if you can explain to me, that's fine. Otherwise, it's a nice thing, it's a nice, that's all. So he said, you just have to open your eyes. I had the same thing. I was by Rav Shadron. Rav Shadron was saying a shmooze, and he stopped in the middle of the shmooze. He opened up the sefer to say a shmooze. He stopped. He says, Hashkacha Pratis. I just opened up to the right place. He says, if the Hashkacha Pratis, you have to train. The problem, he said, and we have, is we don't notice Hashkacha Pratis. We see Nisim Geluyim, in a sense, not Nisim Gluyim of the type of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Nisim Gluyim of the type of Purim and Hanukkah, and we don't notice it because we just take it for granted. But he says that the insight is, so you have to train yourself to see. So Rav Shadron said, I remember saying, this is the second time today I opened up a sefer to the right place. He says, there's a clear Hashgacha Pratis, and a clear Hashgacha Pratis, you have to stop and notice it. Because that's how you develop your bitachin, when you notice Hashgacha Pratis. That's what Rabruk was saying. So that what really the yisayit of Chanukah and Purim, according to this Simcha Zizo, is that we have to notice the nisim that happened then, the nisim of Chanukah, the biderech hateva, the nisim of Purim. We have to also notice bayamim ahein basman hazeh, especially if, according to what we said, that people say that Bizman HaZeh, there are more, it's easier to see the Gilui Shechina, the Yad Hashem and Hashgacha Pratis in the Teva, and by doing that, that will bring us to have Bitachin, and which will obviously will give us more simcha, more strength, more commitment to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs properly. And again, according to Rav Simcha Zisodis, he says that this is the ikar yisoid of the mitzvah of Chanukah. And when he says that if a person really doesn't stop to do this, he's kemat not yaitzi the mitzvah of hadlakas neiris of Chanukah. Okay.